Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. I know that song was a blessing, but when they sang holy, holy, that kind of made you come down. But before you were up, I want you to know we're praising God. Amen. He's an amazing God. He's an on-time God. He is such a wonderful God. Thank you once again, Lisa and the praise team, for blessing us as you've done today. I don't know about you, but I was blessed. Each song led me closer and closer to the throne of God. I'm glad we serve a God who will never leave us, a God who will not fail us. Let's put our hands together once again for the God we serve. Amen. What an amazing God. What an awesome God. A credible God. We serve. And in fact, I want to just thank God for our praise team. Come on, put your hands together for our praise team one more time. Praise the Lord. Then we want to thank the God for our praise team and our band. I don't know about you, but I hear people watch us and see us. They say, man, you are so blessed. You have some wonderful praise team. You have a wonderful band, a wonderful group of people serving the Lord. Again, thank you for all that you do. Thank you, each one of you. God is good. I'm glad that you are here today. If you're happy and you know it, let me hear you say praise the Lord one more time. I mean, if God has been good to you, let me hear you say hallelujah. Oh, we've come to serve a living God. We're serving an amazing God today, and I'm thankful. I'm so glad that song said, I don't want to deny God, keep God from doing what he wants to do for us. I want to stick to the process and let God complete the work in us that he started in us. I know that he wants to do it because he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so today, with gratitude and thanksgiving, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we want to welcome all of our visitors, our friends who are watching online. We praise God for each one of you today, knowing that God is with you. He'll never leave you. Because you are made in the image of God, he has a blessing with your name on it. This time, we're going to bow our heads just for a moment to pray and ask God to be with us as we open his word, as we share, and as we come closer to him today. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so unworthy of this moment. Lord, we do not deserve it, but because of your grace and your mercy, because of your goodness and your continual love and watch care, we want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for watching over us to bring us to this experience even now. We thank you for what we have heard and experienced, our eyes have seen and our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you for allowing us just to come into your presence one more time. And now, Father, we ask that you would just speak to us. Make the word so clear and simple that a child could not and would not err. And then make it so plain, Lord, that if a person happens to be lost, God forbid, it ultimately will have to be decision and not deception. And then, Lord, after we've heard your word, thus saith the Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor for what you shall do for us today. And we praise you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a privilege it is and an honor always to open up the Word of God. And today is once again our honor and our privilege to come before the Word of God because, you know, when God speaks, something always happens. The last time I was here, we were emphasizing the Word of God, and I want to do that because there is this tendency now of getting away from thus saith the Lord. There is this move of moving away from authority, moving away from absolute, moving away from that which is absolutely right or that which is wrong. It seems to be a gray areas where people do not want to stand for what is right. In fact, anytime you ask a person, what is a woman? And you hesitate and can't say what a woman is, something is wrong with that. Because when you read the Bible says God made man in his image and created a woman from his side And this woman was considered female. But when you vacillate from the word of God, you're always going to find yourself in trouble. You'll always find yourself having problems. That's why, as they sang the song about the word of God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, it resonates with me because I don't have the ability to know right from wrong. We do not have the apparatus within us to be able to dictate what is right and wrong. The Bible says it this way, it's not in man to order his steps. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So I declare again and again, over and over and over, what do we have to give us absolute? And the question is, do we trust it? The bottom line is, it's going to boil down, do we really actually believe God's word? It's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to worship and praise the Lord. But ultimately, after it's said and done, when we leave from this moment, we have to walk out of here with the assurance that we are standing on the word of God with no hesitation. Not oscillating from my feelings into what I think, but knowing that I'm standing on the word of God. And God's word gives us clarity. God's word gives us direction. God's word gives us understanding. And that's why today it is a joy to be able to stand up with God's word, because I don't have to give you my opinion. I don't have to give you what I think or feel, but I can give you, thus saith the Lord, because Jesus said it plainly, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the only reason why we are here is because you and I believe that God's word can be trusted. You and I have decided this morning when we got up that this is the day the Lord has made, and we said we're going to rejoice in it, and we made our steps and we did not hesitate to come to the house of the Lord, because he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a day where we pause, because God rested on this day, and God blessed this day, God sanctified this day. And so today we are here because we have been summoned by the word of God. And because we believe God's word, something is actually happening in our lives. And that's why when they sang that song that God is not finished with us yet, do you believe that? God is not finished with you and me. God is beginning a work. And he said, I'm able to complete the work that I started in you. And that's why today I want to ask you the question, are you going to stick to the process? Stick to the process. Stick to the process. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the honor and the joy to open your word. We're praying again because we need your spirit, Lord, to move on our hearts. We're living in a time where people are calling good evil and evil good. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would pull back the scales from our eyes, that we would see Jesus. As we read your scripture and as we go into the word now, we pray that you'll touch our minds and our hearts, that we might be drawn closer to you. For we ask it again in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word of God says in John chapter 17, I want to read in your hearing, John chapter 17. Beginning with verse 14, the word of God says, I have given them your word. Notice what he says again. I have given them your word. I've given what, everybody? I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus, in these last chapters of John, chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 is giving his last words to his disciples. He is about to depart because he knows his time has come. And he said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus knew without a doubt that he was the only one born to die. In fact, at the age of 12, when he went into the temple for the first time at Passover, he saw the lamb being slain, and he recognized at the age of 12 that the Lamb of God represented him. Can you imagine at a young, tender age of 12, when you want to be outside just playing and have fun with other children, when all you want to do is have toys or us around you and have a great time and not worry about anything? But your Lord and Savior, my Jesus, died on the cross. But before he came to that conclusion, before he hung on Calvary's cross, before he gave his life there, he had to live at the age of 12 until he was 33, knowing that he was the Lamb of God. In fact, many times he was asked to do something and he would say, my hour has not yet come, because he knew that his greatest moment on earth would be when he would hang on the cross. And in these final words, Jesus is saying, I have given them your word. In other words, I've given them your word, God. I've told them the expectations of what you have on their lives. You know, you and I will never be held accountable for what God has not given us. And when we sin in ignorance, I'm so glad God winks at it. Don't you know that? In fact, when you don't have an understanding of God's word or expectation, there is no judgment and there is no condemnation, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 30, he says, I wink at that. I'm glad that God winks at it. I don't know about you, but there was a time when you and I were in darkness. You and I were living without God, but then God brought us light. In other words, it's not until you have an understanding of the word of God that the process begins in your life. Because Jesus understands, when you don't have information and when you don't have knowledge, there's no way in the world you can live up to God's expectations. In fact, believe it or not, look what John chapter 15 says. John chapter 15. And by the way, when God speaks with his word, he's giving information. And information is given with an expectation. An expectation cannot be met unless you and I have the moral ability and a responsibility to respond to God. That's the reason why when people say, well, I don't know if that's right or wrong, you have to be clear on what's right and wrong in order to be held accountable. God has to make himself known to you. God has to give a revelation of himself. And I'm glad that God doesn't leave us in the dark. I'm glad the Bible says his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, which simply suggests he's not going to leave you in the dark, which means God has to give information. He has to communicate expectation in order for us to be held accountable. And I'm glad he always sends mercy before he sends judgment. Amen. Oh, you ought to shout about that. In other words, before the hammer falls, he always sends enough light. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are in your journey, but I do know what God will do. He will begin to drop people, circumstances, providence. He will drop circumstances in your life so that you can come to a knowledge of his love, because without that knowledge, we cannot be saved. Notice what the word of God says in John 15. John 15, the Bible says this in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. I pause right there. The Bible says, if I had not spoken, that's found in John 15. Notice what John 15 says. God says, the reason why I'm holding you accountable is because you know something. Now, as a parent, whenever you give your children some instructions in the house before you leave, and when those expectations are not met, how do you feel? And what is your response to them in their not doing what you said? Now think about it. Let it sit in your heart. Parents, I just want to ask you that. Parents, in your heart of hearts, when you give expectations and you give clear outline what you expect when you leave the house, I mean, in your mind, you said, don't do this. You make it clear. You don't speak Greek. You don't speak Hebrew. You don't speak in tongues. You speak clear words of definition, and it's clear and it's audible. In fact, sometimes you got to draw a picture. Sometimes you got to bring a cartoon character. And so this is what I don't want you to do. This is where I don't want you to go. This is what I don't want you to say. And you give clear outline because you have spoken. The expectation differ because they're no longer in the dark. Because you give clear direction. And what God wants us to understand today, whenever we sin in ignorance, it's because there was something we did not know. And I'm so glad today the Bible says he is merciful to us. I want you to understand that in Acts chapter 17. Turn there. Let's put that on the screen. Acts chapter 17. Notice what the word of God says. I want to be in the word today. Acts chapter 17. Because I'm talking about stick to the process, and I'm telling you what God will do. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. He does what, everybody? He overlooks. Truly, these times of ignorance God what? Overlooked. In other words, when you don't know something, God will give you the benefit of doubt. And I ought to shout because of that. However, when God makes clear, thus saith the Lord, then that's a different story. Because once he gives us an understanding of expectation, then God expects, he expects a moral response. Notice what it says. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. In other words, God says, this is what I expect of you. And once he gives us clear expectation, I want you to know that the devil's whole goal and job is to undermine, thus saith the Lord. And that's where our challenge is. Once I know the truth, and once I understand the truth, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But the truth can't make me free if I don't obey it and honor the word of God. Now, notice what he says. Because I've spoken, we have no sin. Now, what is sin? The word of God says in 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law of God. Turn there with me. I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. The Bible says, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law of God. And how can you transgress if you don't know? The word of God says it this way in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And everyone who hath this hope in him purifieth himself just as he is pure. And the word says in verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. In other words, sin is breaking what God expected. Sin is going against, thus saith the Lord. So, in other words, I can't sin unless there is a law. You cannot get a ticket from a police officer unless you go above the speed limit. Now, if you're going down the road and you see 60 miles an hour, and you say to yourself, I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to get somewhere. I can't be late. And you're going in a 55 miles an hour zone. You're going 80 miles an hour. Now, what you have done, you have gone past the speed limit, and the expectation was clear. They expect you to be at 55, but you're traveling at 80. Now, when the law says you are guilty, it's guilty because they made clear the expectation. However, if you were going down the road, and some of us do this, I didn't see a speed limit sign. Anybody? I didn't see it. It was hid, and I was driving, and I didn't see the speed limit sign. In other words, if there's no sign and if there's no speed limit, they can't hold you and judgment or contempt because there was no law or no expectation given. However, when God gives us clear, thus saith the Lord, and when we go against it, we are in judgment, and then we are in trouble because we have gone against God's express word. So what is the process? Notice what the devil did, and I'm going to go to John chapter 5 in a moment. Notice what the devil did in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says. This is how powerful the word of God is. Genesis chapter 1. First of all, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God says in verse 3, and God said. When God said, God speaks, and when God has spoken, God is given clear word. In other words, God gives you clear word. The Bible says God spoke. He spoke. And notice what it says in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let there be light, and there was what, everybody? And there was light. And God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided the light from day. And so on the first day, God made light and God made darkness on the first day. And how did he make it? God said. I want you to follow me. God said. How did he make light and darkness? God said. He didn't need a blueprint. He didn't need architectural work. He didn't need any hammer or nails. All God said was, let there be light. And there was light. And notice what the word of God says in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place. So God then, on the second day, on the third day, and on the fourth day, he made things. But everything God made, he said. Amen. He said. Everything God made, he said. That's all he did. All God did when he made stuff is he said something, and something that did not exist started to exist. All because what? God said. I need you to hear me today. God said. God spoke. When God speaks in creation, something happens. When God speaks in the world, something happens. He said, let there be light. Let there be grass. Let there be firmaments. Let there be. And everything God said, it responded because God said it. Now, let's understand something. Now, the tempter comes along in Genesis chapter 3. The devil comes along in Genesis chapter 3. He got some boldness. Yes, what is it? Okay, y'all leaving. All right, all right. Thank you for letting me know. All right, praise the Lord. All right, that's my grandson. He has no bath. I mean, he come to the throne boldly. That's what he did. Amen. He said, I don't care who you preaching to. I don't care who watching. I don't care. I'm just going to walk up here and let him know how I feel. That's why the Bible says, I'm going to start to preach another sermon. Unless we become like little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And a child shall lead them. And so he was bold. He didn't care. You know, like some of us, we're concerned who's watching. He didn't have any bash in his spirit. He said, I'm going to go up there and say what I need to say at this moment, at this time, and I don't care about the cloud of witness. Amen. That's the kind of faith we have to have in God. And that's what I'm talking about even right now. When God speaks, my brothers and sisters, when God says something, our ability to trust God will determine the lifestyle we would have in response to God's word. God has spoken. You see, when people say, well, I don't know this, I don't know that, every man has been given a measure of faith. When we're born into this world, we are given a measure of faith. And with that measure of faith, we respond to God once we hear the voice of God. And some of us are further along in the spiritual process. Some of us are along in the journey because we responded to God and we walk by faith. But I want you to know that the devil's whole responsibility, goal, and destination is to undermine what God said. That's all he wants to do. He wants to undermine what God said. Now the question is asked, and I heard a preacher mention this. He said, what was it that with Eve, when she responded to the devil, she had more evidence of what God's word can do than evidence of what the devil's word could do? I want you to hear me. In other words, she had more evidence because she was standing on the grass that God made. She was breathing the air that God made. She was standing in front of a tree that God made. And it was God, after he made Adam and Eve, told them that I created all of this. In other words, the Bible says by his word, he spake and it stood fast. And it was by the word of God. And I believe he communicated that to Adam and Eve and said to them, I made all of this for you. I created this for you. And it was by the word of God that it was created. And now the same word of God says to Eve and Adam, thou shalt not eat from this tree. It was the same word of God. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. That's what the word of God says. Now here we are standing before a temptation. Here we are in real life, real time, standing in front of a decision. And all of us will have decisions to make. All of us will stand in that fork in the road where we hear, thus saith the Lord. And then the devil tempts us and we'll hear this voice that tells us, oh, it will be all right. Notice what the devil did. Word of God says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said. Now, if she had stood on the word of God, if she had stayed with the word of God, if she had leaned on the word of God, she would have been all right. And so what I'm suggesting to you and me, that it is only by the word of God that our lives now can be transformed by the power of God. That's why what the Bible says, I love the word of God in 1 Peter. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 2 says. 1 Peter, here's another text. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read the text. 1 Peter, the word of God says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. The word of God, the powerful, awesome, incredible word of God. I love it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Notice what it says. I'm trying to, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. This is what the word says. First Peter, I think it's 3, I'm sorry. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 2, I think it's 2 or 3. I can't. Hold on. Won't you see this text? First Peter, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. It is. Oh, here it is. It's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, for we do not follow cunningly devised fables. There it is, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we make known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's on the screen. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17. For he received from God and from the Father glory and honor when such a voice, a voice came from heaven saying, now listen, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. We have a prophetic word which is confirmed, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in what, everybody? A dark place. In other words, we do well if we take heed to the word of God that shines in a dark place. We do well if we take heed to this word that shines into a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. So the word makes clear, for prophecy never came by the will of man. So I want to make it clear what the expectations are on our lives did not come from some man. It did not come from a group of people. It did not come from a sect or denomination. It did not come from some think tank. It came straight from the voice of God. It came from God himself. I want the world to know that there is a word from the Lord and that there is an absolute. There is black and white. There's not just a gray area, but God says, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men they spake. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so God gave us his word so that we would be able to walk in the light, live in the light, operate in the light, do right in the light, live in the light. That's why the word of God makes it clear that here, as we read God's word, if we follow it, our souls do well. That's why the Bible says all scripture is given by God through inspiration. And the Bible says it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and for correction, so that the man and woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, you and I need to know, thus saith the Lord. And with that in mind, I want you now to turn with me to John chapter 5. What was Jesus' biggest problem on earth? It was dealing with church folk, not you all. It was dealing with folk like the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they had a form of religion. They had a form of godliness, but they were denying the power thereof. How can you say that? The Bible says in John chapter 5, and you're turning there with me as we lay this last foundation in John chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. The Word of God says in John chapter 5 that Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda. I want you to understand that while he's at the pool of Bethesda, there's a lot of people who are sick, broken, hurt. Their lives are messed up. Some are on crack, and some are dealing with tobacco and alcohol. Some are dealing with issues that they cannot stop because they're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. They cannot overcome those proclivities and habits that's in their lives. And the Word of God makes it clear in John chapter 5. And I like John because in John, the gospel writer gives us an understanding who the Word is. And the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without God, there was no Word. And without the Word, there is no God, because the Word is God. He was not just the begotten of God, but he was God himself. He is God in the flesh. And so when Jesus comes, he demonstrates the Word of God and the power of God. And so while he's walking by a pool called Bethesda to demonstrate and illustrate the power of God's Word, as he goes by the pool of Bethesda, he sees many people who have problems, all of them, there at the pool of Bethesda. They're sick. They're hurting, just like humanity. I don't know about you, but all of us are crying out, hurting, going through something. As our faces differ, even right now, and you're watching online or you're here in the church, something is going on in your life that you're wondering, God, how you're going to fix it. All of us got problems. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, as they sang so beautifully this morning, that there's power in the Word of God. And no matter what your problem is, the first point that I glean from John chapter 5 is that no matter what your problem is, there's an answer. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, you all right? Okay, I'm going to preach to myself. Everybody, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials and tribulations you might be experiencing, God has an answer for your situation. In other words, he's not finished with you yet. So what is the process? That's the question. What is the process? As I told you before, he can never have expectation on you unless he's made it clear to you. And when you sin in ignorance, God winks at it. Therefore, God becomes responsible to bring you to a knowledge of truth so that he can bless you and set you free. It is truth that sets us free. It is the Word that sanctifies us. And notice what it happens in real time. In John chapter 5, there's a lot of folks sick. In fact, there's this one particular man, 38 long years. 38 years. How long have you had your problem? How long have you had that problem? Whatever it is between you and God, I'm glad you don't have to confess it to a man. I'm glad that I'm not a priest sitting behind a booth where you got to be behind a curtain and tell me your problems. I'm glad you can cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. The Word of God says for 38 long years, this man had been dealing with an issue that he couldn't get rid of. How long have you been dealing with your problem? How long have you been going to Jesus saying, Lord, help me? How long have you been crying out? How long have you asked God to deliver you? Well, I'm so glad right now that when I read the text, if a man 38 long years, as we're going to seek and get help, we can get help today. No matter what your problem is, no matter how bad you think it is, no matter how long you think it's been going on, notice what the Bible says. The man was sick. He answered him when Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? That's the first question. Do you want to be made whole? Now, he has to ask you that because he cannot begin to perform miracles in your life without your permission. He cannot begin to do for you what needs to be done unless you say, yes, Lord. That's why when you come to church, everybody may not get the blessing, but those who have an open heart, a willing spirit, Jesus somehow begins to walk by their pew and by their chair, and he drops a blessing, because you've got to be willing. As the heart panteth after the water brook, your soul has to pant after God. How bad do you want it? The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You got to come to God wanting God, desiring God. And the only way you can come to him, he has to draw you. John 6:44 says, nobody shows up at God's door unless he has drawn you. And that's the power of God. That's that measure of faith. And you begin to respond to it. And as you respond to that measure of faith, something begins to happen. What is it? You respond. Notice the dialogue, though. The sick man answered him when Jesus said, do you want to be made well? You know how we make excuses? I don't have this. I don't have that. I was born on the wrong side of the track. Now that person can get blessed. That person got it. No. God is no respecter of persons. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, somebody else steps down before me. And notice what the Bible says, a very simple text, verse 8. Jesus did what? Jesus said. I want to say that right there. Jesus what? Said. Now, John chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said. There it is. That's the word. Jesus said. Jesus, what everybody? Jesus said. Come on with Jesus said. I want this to sink down into your spirit. It's not going to be abracadabra. It's not going to be a magical wand. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen because Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says, immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and did what everybody? He walked. Now watch this. He walked. Number one, Jesus said, it doesn't matter how bad your situation is, if you have the audacity and the faith to trust me, you can rise up out of your circumstance. Whatever your situation is right now, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you've been going through. I'm not a secret agent. I'm not CIA. I'm not the KGB. I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a sheepdog following you. I don't know your problem. I don't know your circumstances, but I do know a God who knows everything about you. And he says, I want you to rise up and walk. And God says, in the name of Jesus, you'll have power to walk. And it didn't happen overnight, immediately. Immediately. 38 years, Jesus comes and introduces one thing, his word. He responds, and the Bible says he rose up. The Bible says immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Now, the problem is not that. The problem is now the Pharisees accusing him of healing him on the day he healed him. Now, let me just say this. In the New Testament, the question is not being asked, should we keep the Sabbath? Have you ever had people say, well, I understand the Ten Commandments says that, but where does it say it in the New Testament? Well, the reason why it doesn't say it in the New Testament is because that's not a question being asked. What's being asked in the New Testament is, how should the Sabbath be kept? That was something that we asked earlier, Rick. How should it be kept? Well, Jesus demonstrates on the Sabbath it's good to do well on the Sabbath. So what does Jesus do? He heals a man who had a problem for 38 long years, and the church folk are more concerned about Jesus healing the man on the Sabbath and then telling the man to take up his bed and walk. They missed the miracle because they were more concerned about the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Yes, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. But if you're on your way to church, and as he mentioned, you have a flat tire, are you going to sit there and wait for the sun to go down? I mean, think about it. Are you going with this and say, Lord, I can't come to church today. My tire is flat, and you understand? In fact, they had a law that says you only could take so many steps on the Sabbath, and once you ran out of your steps, you couldn't go any further. They made laws to keep the laws. In other words, they became so caught up with the letter of the law, they missed the spirit of the law, and Jesus came down to show us the essence of the spirit of the law. And that's the reason why he knew the word, and this man, he rises up on the word of God, but watch what happens. The Bible says in verse 16, for this reason, the Bible says, the man afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you have been made whole, sin no more. But then in verse 16, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Can you imagine church folk want to kill Jesus? I wonder if Jesus was alive today, would church folk still want to kill Jesus? I mean, he was so outside the box. He was so different than church folk. He was so different than the religious establishment. If he was alive today, would we want to kill Jesus? Would he get in my mix? Would he get in my Kool-Aid? Would he mess with me so much so that I wouldn't want him around? The Bible says, for this reason, what reason? He healed a man on the Sabbath by his word that was jacked up for 38 years. And this man now is in the temple praising God louder than everybody else. They get upset with him, asking, why are you praising like you crazy? Well, it's because for 38 years I couldn't walk. And a man named Jesus, all he said was rise up. I got up, I started walking, and I thought it would only be proper to go to the place called church and worship him for blessing me like that. Now, if you got a problem with that, that's all right. But I'm going to worship him. I'm not going to let you quench my spirit. I'm not going to cause you to sit on my joy. Because if the Lord's been good to you, you ought to bless the Lord. You ought to praise him and magnify his name. And so this man who couldn't walk appreciate his healing. He blessed the Lord and hollered out, praise the Lord. And the church police saw it and they got upset. And the word says this. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Because he had done these things on the what, everybody? On the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. Now watch what the text says. I'm reading the Bible. But Jesus answered them. Now watch how Jesus responds. My Father has been working until now, and I've been working too. Now, this really upsets them. I'm going to say something else. This really makes them upset. Oh, they angry now. Verse 18. Notice verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more. Now, we were just going to kill you, but now we're going to really kill you. Now, I don't understand how that can be, but that's what the Bible said. They sought all the more. In other words, we were just going to take you out. Now we're really going to take you out. It's serious now. The Bible says it right there. Notice, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because not only did he break the Sabbath, he broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father. Now they're really upset. Making himself equal with God. They upset with him because he cannot lie. I can't tell you I'm not equal with him because I'm equal with him. I thought it no robbery to humble myself and come down there. And just because I put on humanity doesn't mean I stop being God. I'm God all by myself. I can never stop being God. So if I told you I wasn't God, I'll be lying. So yes, me and my Father, we are one. And it's because of this, they want to kill Jesus. And then Jesus answered these words in verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, now watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. There it is. Y'all should watch word. In other words, are you keeping your eyes to see what God is doing? Because Jesus says, what I do, I'm going to give you my modi operandi, my mode of operation. This is how I operate. And this is how Christians should operate. What is God doing? And how is he doing it? And see, this is what Jesus said. Henry Blackaby, in his book, he says these words. He says, when Jesus says this, what he was saying was, he doesn't run ahead of God. He watched to see what God is doing, and then he joined God, and he asked God not to bless what he's doing, but he goes where God is blessing so he could be blessed. Oh, you missed that. In other words, he says, God, I'm not asking you to bless me. I'm asking you to help me to do what is being blessed. So help me get in line with what you're doing and stop asking you to stop doing what you're doing and come join me to do what I'm doing. And so many Christians' prayer is that, Lord, help me this. Help. What would happen if God did get you out of debt? Who would you help? Because if you're stingy broke, you're going to be stingy when you're rich. Not you all. Okay. In other words, what would happen if your life changed? What would happen if God did give you that breakthrough? Opposed to you saying, God, help me to do what you're blessing. This is what Jesus did. He said, I am simply watching my daddy. You all accusing me of doing something wrong, but I'm so in step with my father that I follow him. Could it be whenever you get in step with God, the world doesn't like you? Could it be when you create enemies, it's because you are so in step with God, the world can't tolerate you? Didn't you read it earlier? Oh, you missed it. You missed it. Let me go back to it then. John chapter 17, and I am almost finished. John 17, 17. See, some of us think when we become Christians, it means that we ought to merge into the world. But when you become a true child of God, following his word, it will make you opposite of the world. John 17, this is what it says. John 17, again, I read it. John 17, verse 13. But now I've come to you. John 17, 13. I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, here it is. I have given them your word, God, and the world has hated them because of that reason. You know why you go through trials? You know why you go through temptations? It's because the world hates you. You know why you're going through trouble? Is the devil can't stand you because God has spoken. And when God gives light, he's going to turn up the heat. You know why when you leave out of here, even this week coming, you might go through something? It's because God has given you expectation. He has given you his word. And therefore, because he has spoken, now we know the truth. And you know what the devil going to do? He's going to undermine by his own little power and try to get you to believe that he has power. But everything the devil does is a counterfeit and a lie. And that's why he says that the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he has to say, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. God is saying, I'm praying that you keep them. You're going to be confronted with the devil, satanic. I mean, you're going to have things coming at you, and I'm praying for you. Paul, in fact, Jesus said, I'm praying for you. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he says this, sanctify them. Sanctify them through truth. Your word is truth. So nobody's going to grow wings and fly out of here until Jesus says you're ready. I don't know about you, but I would love to leave this sin-sick planet even right now. But because of the trials, he has to sanctify us. And in the process of sanctifying us, notice what happens. I'm about to close, but notice what Jesus dealt with. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Verse 21 of John chapter 5. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them. I like that. He raised the dead and gave life to them. He has raised the dead. Oh, my God. Notice verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This is him talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees. He said that all should honor the Son. All should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And notice, Jesus is talking to the church folk. He says, more surely I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, and this is verse 25, the hour is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. Now, brothers and sisters, again, I pause here because you're going to need to know the word. The Bible says the living know that should die, but the dead don't know anything. Jesus here is giving us insight even on the state of the dead. He says, most surely I say to you, the hour is coming. The hour is coming when those who have died in the Lord, they're going to hear his voice, and the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So if you're dead, how can you be in heaven when you die. Notice what the Bible says. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted life, has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given authority to execute judgment of soul because he is the Son of Man. Now get this verse. Get this verse right here. Verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. The hour is coming. Notice what it says. This is the Bible. Spiritualism is on a rise, y'all. If you don't know the word of God, I'm telling you, somebody going to tell you, my father came to me last night. If my father came to me last night, I would be scared. Why? Because I know it's the devil. The living know they're going to die, but the dead don't know anything because I have the word. And that's why you got to ask yourself, am I standing on the word of God? If not, the Bible says the very elect will be deceived. And only those who have fortified their minds with the word of God's truth are going to make it through the time of trouble. The deception is going to be so thick. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm not saying that's the devil. But this past week, I was watching something in the evening that some of you were watching. Politics, you know, you might have got a glimpse of it, but just to believe some of the stuff that's being said and some of the stuff that's coming down the pipe, and just to hear some of the stuff and not be able to stand on the word of God, even the very elect will be deceived. He says this, marvel not, the hour will come which those who are in the grave will hear his voice. They will hear the voice of God and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. And then Jesus says this, I can do nothing of myself. Verse 30, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, this is the acid test here. You say, well, how do you know the difference between church people and the word? How do you know? What's the acid test? Stick with the process. Stay with the word of God. Notice what it says. I don't have time to read it all, but I'm going to drop down, if you don't mind, put it on the screen. In verse 37. Jesus is talking here. Verse 37. And I'm closing with this. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. In other words, you haven't heard his voice. That's how I know. I know this is an acid test. This is how I know if you heard the voice of God. This is how I know if you really are in the word. And notice verse 38. But you do not, and this is a serious rebuke right here. Jesus is literally talking to church folk. These are the Pharisees and Sadducees who know the book of the Bible better than anybody else in their time. They know the word of God. And then you ask yourself, how could they miss the coming of Jesus? How could they miss the Messiah? How could they miss this Lamb of God? Notice, but you do not have his word abiding in you. That's what he says to them. Tell some church folk, you don't have the word of God in you. That's your problem. That's what Jesus is literally saying. And what grounds do he have? He says, the reason why I know you don't have the word in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You don't believe the one he sent. That's why I know the word is not in you. And then, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, for all time, verse 39, never use this text as a proof text for Bible study. This is a rebuke. This is a stern rebuke to them because they don't have the word in them. Notice what he says. You search the scriptures. That's what he says. You spend all your time reading the Bible. You spend all your time going to church. You spend all your time doing all of this. That's what Jesus said. It's a rebuke. He says, you search the scriptures and you ought to search them. You ought to search the word of God. You ought to know the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You ought to know the word. You ought to step on the word, live by the word. You ought to be led by the word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But whenever you get in trouble with letting the word mislead you, is because it's misled you from Jesus. That's why Jesus says this, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, You think you're being saved by what you read. You think you're being saved by what you hear. No, hearing does come by faith, and faith comes hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. But I want you to know your problem is this. You argue with me about healing a man on the Sabbath. You argue with me about me getting this man freedom and the joy of living in Jesus. You argue with me because I've set this man free who could not walk, and he's walking with his bed on the Sabbath. And you have argued with me all this time. This is how I know the word is not in you, because he that has come to bring life, you're arguing and fussing with me, and I'm the one that my Father sent, and in me life is unborrowed and underived. He says, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. From Genesis to Revelation, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this book talk about Jesus. This talk about the Messiah. This talk about the one who come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're talking about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We're talking about the one who come that we might have freedom in Jesus. And notice what he says as I close. These are they that talk about me. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. That's what he says in closing. He said, the problem is not you studying the Bible, but this book ought to lead you to me. You ought to see Jesus in this word. After all said and done, ladies and gentlemen, after you pray and you come to the word of God and you pray and you put it down, you ought to walk away from there knowing Jesus loves you. You ought to walk away from there knowing that he died for your sins, and he's coming back one day to get you. You know, you need to know that there's a work in you that he started. He will complete it by the word of God. I know that. And as they sang so beautifully today, I know that God is not done with you. He's not finished with me. And if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways direct, God will direct your path. I believe without a doubt, God will save each and every one of us. I know he will. And today I want to pray over you today. I want to pray that you be just in the word of God. I pray that you'll study the word of God. I pray that you'll hide his word in your heart. I pray that you'll know the truth. Again, the day will come when there'll be a famine in the land. The famine will not be bread and water, but the famine will be the word of God. I'm so glad right now we have the freedom to come into this church and worship. I'm so glad right now the probation, the doors of mercy are still open. In other words, there are four angels holding back the winds of strife until God's people are sealed in their forehead. And the day will come when Jesus will stand up and say, he that's just, let him be just still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous. But until then, I'm so glad that we can come, open up the word of God and the freedom and the beauty of holiness, open up the word and study his word in spirit and in truth. I'm glad today that we can know the word of God and spoken. He said, if I had not spoken, it is no sin, but because I've spoken, now you know. You want to walk in the light with me today? Why don't you stand? If you want to say, God, I want to walk in the light you've given me. I know you are patient. I know you're loving, you're kind, but I want to thank you for the light today. I want to walk in it. I want to walk in that light. I want to walk in that light. As I close today, there may be somebody else who says, not only do I want to walk in the light, but I have not given my life to Jesus yet. I'm not a believer. I have not fully given my life to Christ, and I need to make that decision today. I'm praying for you because one day Christ is coming back. Make no mistake about it. Just like he spoke the world into existence, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He says, if I go, I'm coming again. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come again. You want to be ready for that coming. You want to see him in peace. You want to be covered by his blood. You want to be saved by his grace. You want to say yes to God. There's a decision card. Those of you who are online, you want to say yes to Jesus, fill that card out. There's somebody here today want to say yes to Jesus. I need to be baptized. I need to be a member of a church. I need to live under the word of God. Please, please, by all means, just raise your hand. If somebody here wants to say yes, Lord, I need to walk in the light. I'm walking in it, but I need to give my life to Jesus. 30 seconds. Simple appeal. I want to walk in the light. I want to be saved. I'm just saying, you've got to live by thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Praying, Father God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Once again, your children are standing because they recognize and do realize that they want to walk in the light. Lord, your word is powerful. It is true. Lord, you spoke and it stood fast. You spake and it came forth. And Lord, the same voice one day will say to those who die in the Lord, come forth, keep not back, bring my sons and the daughters from afar. Lord, I thank you for your promises. Now today as we stand, we're saying in solidarity, we want to believe and trust. We want to obey and follow. Lord, we know there's power in your word, the same power that raised up this impotent man for 38 years who could not walk. It's the same power available for us to overcome sin. So, Father, I pray that you'll be with each one of us. And, Lord, at the end, when you shall come, I pray that all of us, under the sound of my voice, will be able to look up and say, lo, this is our God, whom we waited for, because your word is true. He that shall come will come, will not tarry. Until then, keep us faithful. By your grace, keep us strong. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And when you do come back, may we hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful over the few things, I will make you faithful over much. Enter into the joy. Lord, we long to enter into your joy one day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated just for a moment.